Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, President of Aerospace Management System Institute, Board Member of Professional Aerospace Maintenance Association, and National Aviation Safety Foundation. He's the anchor host for Plane Time Stressing Aviation Maintenance. He has over 3,000 hours of flight time around the world and is today's host.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ben Coleman, your anchor host here at the Florida Aviation Network, coming live and in the clear from the Central Florida Aerospace Academy, and we're at the number 49 Sun and Fun International Expo and Convention. I tell you, it's been a whirlwind. It's been a great week so far. We're just about to wind it up. This is Friday, and we have spoken to a multitude of folks that bring something to aviation that we have here on set, and this is going to be no different today. We talk about the Civil Air Patrol, but also remember that this is a volunteer-run organization, the Florida Aviation Network. And there's an awful lot of volunteers involved with the Civil Air Patrol, and hopefully we get our next guest to encourage those adult folks that could be members and didn't know it. They just didn't know it. So you don't know it. You don't know what you don't know is what they say. But Susan Millette. Susan, is that, did I pronounce your name correctly?
You pronounced it correctly. Thank you.
Millette.
You get an A-plus on that.
Oh, and speaking of A-plus, you sound like you might have been a teacher in the past.
I was a teacher and a principal for 31 years. So, yes, A-plus for you.
Good grief. I'm and normally I get the wax on the knuckles. You know, can you do that anymore?
No. The students who stayed in my office when I was a principal were my favorite students. They ended up being lifelong friends.
Good.
So it's a good thing.
Good. My high school was kind of flavored. It was back, they still had corporal punishment back in those days. And if you had to go see Mr. Williams, you knew you could probably count on getting a paddle. I don't know that I miss those days, you know what I mean? But anyway, we digress.
Okay.
Susan, you're here with the Civil Air Patrol. You've been in your current position for about 16 years, and you actually are the STEM educator. Aerospace and STEM education is your focal point, I know, for the Civil Air Patrol. How is that going?
It's going great. I retired from the school system after 31 years. I had turned my elementary school into an aviation-themed school, and test scores shot out the ceiling and into the sky mm-hmm. with those young students. They were middle to lower socioeconomic students. Mm-hmm. And the aerospace and aviation theme really jump-started their ignition and interest in learning more about reading and science and technology and engineering and math, all those things we now call STEM. Mm-hmm. We taught them back in the day in the 80s and 90s.
It just wasn't called STEM.
It wasn't. But it was a wonderful theme to use throughout the school and to bring in resource people and mentors and such, many from Civil Air Patrol who would talk to the students about future careers and avocations as well. So in 2006, I was asked to come to the Civil Air Patrol's national headquarters to do what I did at my school for teachers around the country, and now I'm their education outreach coordinator, and it is a wonderful job. I meet so many wonderful people and organizations and even still some young people along the way too, so it's really great.
Well, and Susan, you I've got to correct you on something.
Okay.
I don't like to correct the teacher, but it's not a job. I say it's a passion for you.
It is absolutely a passion, a dedicated passion.
It's not work.
No.
I mean, hitting the schedule sometimes could be work. But.
And I'll tell you this. You talked about the Florida Aviation Network being a group of volunteers. Civil Air Patrol is made up of over 60,000 volunteers across the nation as well. I happen to get paid for what I do, mm-hmm. but I still consider myself as a volunteer at heart because I will do anything for any of our members or organizations anytime, day or night. So it is a passionate dedication that's going on here in my life and many people who work with me.
Well, and it shows. And the folks that are downstream from you, I mean, your passion is contagious. And if we don't feel like that, we're not really good leaders. I mean, we must really emphasize that. And how did you get your passion for aviation?
Well, I was a first grade reading teacher. I knew nothing about aviation. The Alabama Department of Aeronautics director's daughter was in my classroom, and he asked me to pilot a little aviation program. I said, I know nothing about it. He said, you're the exact teacher we want for this. And that was in 1986. And from then on, I've integrated aviation throughout my curriculum. Then when I became a principal, of course, I integrated it throughout the school. But immediately I found that the people in our community, and I live in Montgomery, Alabama, where the national headquarters for Civil Air Patrol is, and it's a military community, retired military are there as well. They immediately jumped on and tried to support. A person in my church, long before our EAA Young Eagle flights, said, would you like for me to fly your students? And we started flying students. And that was the best carrot to dangle in front of young people to get them to do well in school, behave well, and do well academically as well as they could, and to get them to want to do more. So,
I tell you, orientation, O-flights go a long way.
They do.
And the folks that are involved with it, that give and dedicate their time to that work, is to be acknowledged. So we acknowledge, thank you for the volunteers.
Absolutely.
For the Civil Air Patrol, I'm a member, and I've been a member for many, many years. Met my wife at Civil Air Patrol, and it's a very, very good grassroots foundation for learning how, particularly if you want to get in the military, particularly because it gives you the rules, regulations. You're able to, it really streamlines your growth and advancement as an adult. It gives you, I'm looking for a word, help me here. It starts with a D. It gives you decorum. It gives you, Susan, help me. It's one of those times. Focus.
And I'm not helping you.
Focus, help me.
It gives you some goal setting for the future. Mentors are leading you to start striving for goals and setting those goals and reaching them. So, and doing it with a good sense, a balance of academics, community outreach, respect for others and self, leadership, servantship, all those words come to mind that it does help you. Did your word come now?
It came.
Your word came.
You hit the tickle spot.
Okay.
Oh, I just lost it again. Oh, man. not dedication.
Well, that does give them a sense of drive, and I know that many young cadets who work in Civil Air Patrol, they come shy.
Discipline.
Very good.
That's what I was looking for, because I mean, these days, sometimes our youth, I would be confused if I was a youth in this day and age coming up. I'm sorry, dear, I couldn't think of it. Okay. And this is live. Did we mention this is live?
Okay.
Anything that
there's
we messed
no
up here?
There's no editing here. Okay.
It's live, so it's captured. But discipline is sometimes, we mentioned the sticks and the fingers and the paddle and all that. That was a form of discipline. Another form of discipline is you go sit in time out for 15 minutes, young man. But
the best form of discipline is that self-discipline where you really have set goals and you're going to control yourself, move forward, and strategically plan your pathway. Controlling everything around you is discipline and self-discipline. So they're doing those kinds of things, and you're exactly right. That's the best word to use.
Dedication, and these young folks today, if somebody was like 13, 14 years old, could they get involved with the CAP?
They can. They can start at age 12. Mm-hmm. We even have school squadrons around the country. First, let me just tell you this, that we have squadrons, cadet and composite squadrons for young people ages 12 and above, all around the country. In every state, we call them wings, mm-hmm. and as the auxiliary of the Air Force. So if anyone didn't know that, we are the auxiliary of the Air Force, a non-combat mission, all-volunteer organization. But we have squadrons all across the nation, and young people ages 12 and above can join. And typically, these squadrons meet in the afternoons, evenings, at a local church or on an airport facility or somewhere. But sometimes we have squadrons at schools for those young people, and especially those at-risk young people who don't have parents who can drive them or take them to an after-school or evening meeting. So we have cadets at school programs where the young people can meet there. And at that location, if you're in the sixth grade, even if you're not quite 12, they will allow you to go ahead and join the squadron then. So those are really good opportunities for young people who don't have parents who can help them and, you know, have to work a lot and can't get them to extracurricular activities. But so any young person mm-hmm. can go and explore. And if anyone wants to find out where their local squadron might be, mm-hmm. they can go to our website, and it's gocivilairpatrol.com. And at the mid page of that main page, there's a place that says find your local squadron. And if mm-hmm. they enter their zip code, they can do a search radius from 10 to 100 miles and find the closest cadet or composite squadron. So they don't want to go to a senior squadron because that would be all adults, and we want to make sure the cadets are meeting the people. But they can call and go and visit one of the meetings and see if they like it. Mm-hmm. And if there's more than one in their vicinity, mm-hmm. I always suggest visiting more than one if it's available, because you don't know which one's going to fit you. Like any volunteer organization, everyone's different in the way they approach things. So it's open to anyone.
And every squadron, there's different look and feel and different surroundings. All of this information that's available to them, is it no charge?
No, not for the young people. They have to pay, like, I'm just going to give you an average cost. It's about $35 for a young person to join. We do have a lot of scholarships and donations for young people to get their uniforms. The military donates uniforms to us and such. So it's not a lot of cost, but there is cost involved. But there are people who are there to help the young people get joined and be involved. But once they join, everything that they do with their squadron is pretty much no cost to them, unless there is an expense in travel. But they have special national cadet special activities the young people can apply for mm-hmm. and travel around the country and learn about different STEM careers in aviation, pilots, maintenance, all types of things. But those things come with cost. But again, we have scholarships for our young people to help them.
But once you get into the door,
You
get your foot in the door.
Yep.
Now we're talking about, that's what I was trying to pull up the...
Oh, sorry, it, okay.
And you used the F word before.
Priceless.
It's priceless,
but at no cost.
No cost information.
Yes.
And it's really, really a vital role that we play in the airplanes. The airplanes are not just used for, and people don't realize that if a general aviation aircraft was to go down, and on occasion they do, there's a whole system that has been developed, and the Air Force is still responsible for finding downed aircraft, but they're not going to scatter a squadron of F-16s to go out there and look for an ELT. People don't realize that the CAP is that's the branch that is used to go out and do search and rescue. And it's a very, very fulfilling operation when you talk about a mission. So if these guys want to get in, hey, Sylvia, it's the mission-oriented, the drive to the goal, find those people on the ground, and get some safety to them, rescue them if they can.
That's right.
And that drives the whole system. And The aircraft that are used for that are, how many aircraft, and this will put you on the spot, how many
probably
aircraft
is probably about 565 aircraft.
I'm impressed. Okay, good.
Cessna 172, 182s usually, but we have other aircraft as well. Our pilots are very well trained. We have ground team as well as our pilots who work in these search and rescue missions. And we have a lot of good, great new technology. We have innovative technology going on. Mm-hmm. Please excuse me. We use cell phone forensics technology to try to locate downed, lost people, as well as tracking our downed aircraft when that happens, of course. But we use a lot of new technology that our National Operations Center is training our pilots and our ground team, these adult members, to do in all types of emergency services. Besides downed aircraft, we do surveillance for after floods, tornadoes, fires, and such, and help emergency management system so agencies around the country. Mm-hmm. But not just the adults do that, but it is important for any adult who is listening that there are opportunities in Civil Air Patrol for them to fly and get more flight time in, working with a great humanitarian organization. Mm-hmm. But those we've been talking about young people here, but those young people, those cadets, also train with the adults and learn those missions, mm-hmm. and they are trained trained, once they become an adult and want to become an adult member, which is called a senior member, they can join in those missions as well. So those airplanes are used for great humanitarian missions, but also to train our young cadets. They take orientation flights in them, get flight scholarships to go to flight academies, and even earn their private pilot certificate while they're in Civil Air Patrol. We take teachers on orientation flights too. So those airplanes are our treasured resources, and the persons who fly them and maintain them and plan them and coordinate all the flights and the emergency management services are all treasured volunteers as well.
Well, and those aircraft are they're tools that you use, but it's an asset. And I know in our squadron in Orlando, we were very, very key on take care of your assets. One side note story, a little young cadet, little bitty fella, cute as a button. I said, okay, this aircraft, I'm assigning this aircraft to you, and your role is to keep the belly of that airplane spotless. And he said, oh, that doesn't sound like much fun. I said, oh, you'd be surprised how rewarding it is. And now he's flying for the airlines on the West Coast.
That's exciting.
And he thanked me for making him clean the belly of that airplane.
Learn from the bottom
sure.
up. Yeah. We never know where things are going to lead.
Sure.
That's one thing I love about our cadet program is that we have young people coming in. They don't know what they want to do. They're very shy, but someone's nudged them into joining Civil Air Patrol, or they have a friend who's joined, or their grandfather said to join, whatever reason. But the Civil Air Patrol provides them such self-confidence, mm-hmm. gives them experiences that other young people are not going to have, not only under the belly of an airplane, but inside and around, and meeting all the wonderful adult mentors, mm-hmm. who, by the way, I'd like to clarify, are FBI background check before they work with our young people. So any parent out there might want to know that we are very secure in our working with and training and preparing and vetting any adult who works with our young people. But they get the great mentorship and the experience of the old guys and gals, you know, that mm-hmm. have been there and done that. And I think, you know, many times they might not listen to someone in their family, but they'll listen to someone in this organization that's bringing them in, showing an interest in them like you did, mm-hmm. and guiding them forward.
Well, it's a vital role that we need to keep the Civil Air Patrol in forefront. And it's really easy to identify a CAP airplane. And I ask, usually I ask people, are you familiar with the Civil Air Patrol and what they do and their role?
I've heard of them, but...
What do they do? Search and rescue? Yes, that's their primary mission, but all that goes along behind that. And the guys at the Air Force, trust me, they don't... It's an auxiliary of the Air Force, and they want to know that when they need to push that button to instill a mission to go, that there's a team, ready, qualified, aircraft are properly inspected, maintained, and everyone's proficient, and form five flights. I mean, they're very, very serious about keeping the pilots up to speed to where when they call, you're able to answer. And that's something that I think... You, from an educator standpoint, is so important to emphasize to your students. And when you get to our age, everybody's a student.
That's right. When you talked about discipline earlier, we want to certainly have people who are working in the air and on our aircraft, very disciplined people, but that starts at a very early age. Mm-hmm. And at Civil Air Patrol, we think that's very important that we introduce young people to aviation and aviation-related careers at a very early age. So we have a multitude of priceless but very, very important educational products that we provide to pre-K through 12 and above educators, mm-hmm. both formal and informal educators, because after COVID, a lot of people became informal educators at home, but we provide those free resources for educators at no cost. Mm-hmm. So we have a special program, a kindergarten through sixth grade aerospace connections and education program. And that was one program I was hired to create because it replicated what I did at my school. But we use the aerospace theme to integrate all areas of academics, character ed, and physical fitness mm-hmm. into these K through 6th grade programs. The lessons are just priceless for the teachers. They're set up so that volunteers can come in and teach the lessons. Someone who might not be familiar with that particular topic, everything's written for them, and class sets of manipulatives are sent to the students and such. But the good thing about that is that when we're trying to develop the future workforce, we're looking at people who are smart in their academic area, who do have good character, mm-hmm. and who are drug-free and physically fit to be able to do those things. Mm-hmm. So that's why this program is important. But we also have over 20 free, I hate to use that word, but it is at no cost, free STEM kits in the areas of aviation, space, and cyber. Now, here we're at an air show. We want to focus on the aviation stuff. Sure. But, of course, we move into space from there, and you have to have cyber as you're going to be controlling the aircraft nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's not, everything is not in the, on the, in the cockpit just for as an instrument. We have these glass cockpits now, and everything's electronic and such. So
you're flying a computer.
That's right. So aviation, space, and cyber STEM kits, we have over 20 of those for kindergarten through 12th grade for those teachers. It's important that we educate our teachers as well about the importance of aviation and aviation-related STEM careers. Mm-hmm. And if the teachers know and are prepared and have the resources and the mentors to come to the classroom, which CAP mentors do, then they can help us share the word with young people. So we think it's really important that we educate our teachers, provide them the resources and the experiences. So as I mentioned earlier, we fly teachers too. So we take teachers on flights in our Civil Air Patrol aircraft, and they might not be comfortable with aviation. They might have flown commercially, but once you fly in a general aviation aircraft, it's a little bit different. And to get the pre-flight briefing to see how the parts of the airplane work, and then get in the airplane, see how they work, and then get to control the aircraft themselves, fly over their school or their demographic mm-hmm. area, mm-hmm. radio down to their students or live stream down to their students. You can imagine the power that comes from that one flight with a teacher at the controls and their students knowing that their teacher is flying above them, or their mm-hmm. principal mm-hmm. or their superintendent, someone of influence to the young people. So we feel like these experiences for the teachers are important too, so they can come back, share those experiences with their students, so their students might dream of doing that one day and then start working toward the goal of doing that. And CAP pilots will then come back and talk to the schools and bring some mm-hmm. cadets to introduce the program. Mm-hmm. So it's a full circle organization. We try to connect things in every way we can.
Well, Susan, I can tell there's a reason that you've been there as long as you have. Because normally, you know, people sit a couple years here, a couple years there. You've been in that role for 16 years for a reason, because you're good at it, I can tell. You show your passion, and I'm sure that we will have touched someone out here.
We hope so.
Thank you very much for your time.
Appreciate
today.
You very much.
And there we go. A lot of information, vital information, and it's priceless information at no cost. Otherwise known as free. So, but we're not going to use the free word here. Listen, this is Ben Coleman, your anchor host for the Florida Aviation Network, and we're going to sign it off just a little bit over our time, Mike, but we're okay. See you next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.